I'd like to see a good full house here. Announcements. Ron gave me this morning. He said that next Sunday there'll be a memorial service for Irene Cole following worship. And the rest of the announcements are kind of on the board there, or on the sheet, so we'll just get to it. I'm a reading out of Psalm 48, verses 9 and 10. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we worship you here today, we give thanks for allowing us the privilege to send out your servants to faraway places and that they will know our hearts, prayers, love, and joy go with them as they follow your will. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning. I'm going to read from John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, power in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, power in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, power in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, power in his name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Oh,
Okay, if that isn't enough uproar right away. And I'll bet you're wondering, what on earth am I going to do with all those rocks? I'm going to tell you a story. And it's a story that comes from the book of Joshua. After Moses died, Joshua became the leader of God's people. And his biggest job was to take the Israelites into the promised land. Now, there was a problem. Because in order to do that, he had to cross the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was at flood stage. And I'm sure all of you know what a flood is. We had one, I think, on Thursday morning, kind of around here. Well, this was a real flood. But Joshua said to the people, have faith. They brought our parents and our grandparents across the Red Sea. He will take us over the Jordan River. He will stop the river so that we can pass, even though it's at flood stage. And he told each one of somebody from each one of the tribes, and there were 12 tribes, you remember that, 12 tribes, and he told them, when you get to the middle of what would be the river, if it were flowing, but it stopped, said, would you pick up a stone and take it with you across the rest of the river? And they picked up stones that were much bigger than what, just leave them alone, please. They picked up stones that were so big that they had to carry them on their shoulder, but they walked all across dry land with these rocks on their shoulder. They said, take that to the place where we will camp tonight. And when they did that, and remember, God stopped that river, so they walked across on dry land. And when they got there, Joshua took all his huge stones, and he built up a pile of stones. And he said, we did that so that you'll remember that God brought you across the Jordan River, that God was good to you, that he protected you, and that he's always good to you. Now, why do you think he built the we're going to call it, just because my mind has a word, but it was a remembrance. And he built it so that whenever people pass that pile of rock, that remembrance, they would say, what's that rock? What's that pile for? And then they would remember it was when God carried them safely across a flooding Jordan River because he stopped up the river. And I want you to think about that. Did any of you ever have trouble? Is God good to you? How's God good to you? What does God do for you? What's God ever given you? Why is he good to you?
He's given me great family and friends.
Gave her great family and friends. Who else has anything good that God did for him? He lets us live every day. That probably our days when maybe that's just a little questionable. Everything that you have, the sky, the land, the trees, the butterflies, the birds, God gave all of that to you, and God is so good. What do you have?
The big old earth was bigger than
the than space. All right. He created the earth, didn't he? And he put it here. And God takes care of us. And so Joshua put that mound of rock so that when people saw him, they could go back and look. And oh yeah, I remember that God brought us safely across the Jordan River. It's just exactly what it says. He said to the Israelites, in the future when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. God is so good. Let's pray. Precious Lord, our days move along, and sometimes we forget how good you are to us. You loved us, and we love you because you first loved us. You've given us our lives. You've given us this world. You've given us our family and friends, and you are in charge of our lives as they move along. Help us to remember, wherever we are, that you are good. We love you. Amen.
To him are all things. To God be the glory. His word endures from beginning to end. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory. emotionally. This may be a tough day for a lot of us. So let me start off with something light. Praise the Lord, Marty got to go home after his knee surgery on Thursday. That was a little bit in question on Wednesday afternoon, because oftentimes with surgery, oftentimes I've been under anesthesia, you have to deal with the body kicking back into gear. Kids, that means number one and number two. Number two, they'll take your word for it. But number one, they measure it. And I got a convenient little cup that hooks on the side of the bed to keep track of it, at least for the guys. And Wednesday afternoon, Marty's hoping to get out on Thursday. And I lean over to pray. And his record of number one working fine just went all over the floor. So they had no record that number one was working. So I was praying that the Lord would still allow him to go home on Thursday. So we all rejoice together today that though perhaps with a little bit of difficulty, Marty hobbled in here to share today with us. So, Marty, we rejoice in you coming through the surgery. Margarita is going to have a port put in tomorrow, and so she'll be traveling up, and so is in preparation for what her treatment course will begin. And so please be in prayer for Margarita and for Alan. We had, this last week, we had seven campers go to camp. And three of them had previously trusted in the Lord. The other four did at camp. Hallelujah. Their smiles, their confidence says a lot. I had a young man today who went to camp, and he's coming to me, and I figure he's going to want to share about, oh, how great it is to belong to Jesus. And he comes to me and he says, Scott, can I talk to you for a minute? I've sinned this week. And long story short, I told a lie and blamed it on others. And so he's showing a sensitive heart to the Lord of wanting to repent. And it just shows, man, is that proof that the Spirit of God is now living in him? Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but for me, emotionally, this is going to be a tough day. May we not forget this day is about Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about Robin. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's him that we lift up. It's him that we exalt, because it is his power that we look forward to seeing what is going to happen with that power in Clear Lake and in Sierra Leone. So we truly are grateful that we can celebrate together. See a lot of familiar faces today, and seeing a few that maybe are a little bit of a surprise to each and every one of us. May the love of Christ overwhelm all of us today, so that we won't forget what it feels like to be a part of this family. Let us pray. Lord, we rejoice. Despite my clumsiness, Marty made it home Thursday. Lord, we thank you that you work in and through us because you've designed life that way. Though we are easily distracted. And though we can distract others, and yet, Lord, we can rejoice. You still are able to work it all out for good. Lord, it is overwhelming to know the love that exists in this place. We thank you for that. Lord, Roger is here. And if anybody wants to know where the work of God is going in Sierra Leone, that's the catalyst. That's the energy. That's where it started. For those who are excited about that, we can celebrate Roger. For those that aren't, well, they'll probably be mad at him. Lord, we know you have loved us with an everlasting love that is beyond our ability to fathom. We just pray your goodness that as we have continued needs in our midst, that we would be mindful of that. Lord, we've got those memorial services in which we celebrate a life. Lord, that it would be something that we are looking at whether there is a birth or whether there is a death or anything in between. Lord, may we not just embrace the circumstances, embrace the opportunities, but Lord, that we would seek your presence and your power. That spiritual fruit will be the result of everything we do. Lord, it is good to be in your house. It is good to celebrate with these people in this place. May your love overwhelm us this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
When you're dull from all that glitters, when your thoughts have a hollow ring, and you can't escape from the feeling you're getting it wrong, all your foolproof plans seem foolish, all your status is status quo. All you really need to know is where you belong. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And things of earth will go straight.
Wars are tough, however you want to look at them. Desert Storm has one statistic that is rather glaring. Of all the causes of our servicemen and women's deaths in war, it's always particularly gripping when they come by friendly fire. In Desert Storm, more United States servicemen and women died from friendly fire than from any other cause. Now, friendly fire, for those who may not know exactly what that is, friendly fire is when your own military mistakes you for the enemy and takes you out. Since I have opportunity to say one more thing, you got to be figuring, I feel it's important. You've got to feel that I'm going to deliver it with passion. The scriptures speak a lot about outreach, about taking the gospel to places it's never been before so that it can be shared with people who do not yet know Jesus. And yet within the scriptures, there seems to be a much higher priority for those that believe in Jesus Christ to be able to get along with one another. The whole mark of a Christian is God's type of love, a sacrificial love, setting aside your own desires, your own wants, to instead serve someone else. And it was within that priority that I have selected for today Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, and would ask you to join me there as soon as I can retrieve my glasses out of my pocket. Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Are there any sinners here this morning? Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, maybe you didn't hear the question. And some of you are thinking, Scott, that's not new. You've asked us that before. In which the answer is always all of us. Now, if you are imperfect, raise your hand. Since we are imperfect, we need God's grace every day. Because without His grace, we've got those imperfections. Oh, don't we like that word so much better than what the Bible calls it? Sin. That would break our fellowship with God, that would kind of set us aside from His direct blessing in our life. Wow. Of course. And so we need His grace every day. Get your arms ready. Don't throw anything out of socket here. Have any of you ever been hurt or offended by somebody else. Okay. Now, are they imperfect? Yes, Lord. And there was the singing of angels. If we are imperfect, then why would we expect others to not be imperfect? We count on God's grace every day because we're imperfect. We're sinners, and we need His grace. You want to see what imperfect people look like? You want to see what sinners look like? Go ahead, look around. We can be so wonderful about receiving God's grace in our lives. And yet, why would we give it to them? They hurt me. Don't you know what they said? Don't you know what they did? Who knows that the main purpose of God keeping us here rather than taking us home is so that we can experience His grace and power in our lives, that we may become more like Christ. Christ-likeness is the purpose, is the design, is the goal of the Christian. Do you know that? Okay, good. Some of you do. Okay, so as we look at this, if our design is to be Christ-like, what does Christ do when faced with our imperfection? Grace. So if we want to be like Christ, what must we do? When we meet imperfection, grace. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And yet we struggle. We struggle with giving grace because somehow or another we feel that if we forgive somebody, we lose. That if we forgive somebody, we're giving them an advantage because they aren't being held responsible for their imperfection. We've got to overcome that. We've got to get past that because we don't forgive somebody because we need to hold them to a higher standard. We need to forgive somebody because Jesus asks us to. The Bible tells us to. You see, forgiveness is not a lot about how you feel. Anybody ever truly, really feel like forgiving somebody that's hurt you? Not at the top of the list. Instead, you want to see them pay for the pain they have caused. But God is asking us to be like Him, to be His representatives here on earth. And so that we would display a type of attitude of maturity that would be similar to His own. When He meets our imperfection, He gives grace. He's asking us when we meet with one another's imperfection, we give grace. Forgiveness can be a tough thing. And yet, it empowers us to be able to move on and do what God would have us do in this life. Do you realize that by forgiving someone, you can keep both yourself and the person you have forgiven on track for living for Jesus? But if you don't forgive, you've derailed yourself and not helped that person get back over their oops. Anybody ever have an oops? Yeah, of course you have. Back on track with the Lord. Notice in the verse there, it says, kind and considerate. This is how we are to act. This is how we are to treat one another. You know, is it kind? Is it considerate? You know, considerate is just a word that, I mean, this one, you know, if this is on a little vocabulary test, this one's easy. What is considerate? Boy, I just don't know what I could consider it would be. I think maybe if I think about consider is, oh, you're considering something else before making your decision. To be considerate is to take in their situation and their needs. It's not to trumpet with your own. Wow. Husbands, wives, be kind and considerate. Brothers, sisters. Yeah, that's too much to ask. So within this, if we give our best to others, that's essentially what God is asking for here. As Paul has written in Ephesians 4:32, give your best to others. Don't hold it for yourself. Give it away. Be kind and considerate, forgiving. And so within that, then you will certainly be building up the body of Christ. It will be setting your actions like a city on a hill for all to see. Okay, it is tougher to forgive. We get that. But within this forgiveness, then, what happens if we've been wronged? The first thing we have a tendency to do is to turn it into a grudge. Because last week or last year or when I was 4, and it just doesn't work well for us that way. So instead, the Bible is telling us we need to choose. We need to actively consider forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a decisive act of the will. And for the most part, it's not easy. You know, maybe I don't need to belabor this very long. How many of you find that forgiveness isn't easy? Okay, that once isn't enough. That you got to take it back to the Lord again and again and again. And how many times should you do that? Till you got it. But why is it necessary? Because you're giving grace to an imperfect person. None of us has ever given grace to a perfect person. They don't need it. And they don't exist. So grace is good for everyone. Okay, so as we're looking at this then, the goal of what we have here is kind, compassionate, forgiving. The goal is always reconciliation in relationships. Ever spend time arguing with a spouse over what was right and what wasn't, what the facts really were? Wow, what an incredible waste of time. Because at the end of the day, the facts really don't matter. At the end of the day, the only thing that matters is, are you loving each other? Are you being kind and considerate and putting yourselves in the pathway of God's blessing? Notice I said the facts. I never said the truth. We will never find success doing something that does not coincide with this book. God's blessing, God's will is never outside these pages, ever, ever, ever. So if you think you've got something new with God that he's telling you to do something that isn't in here, that's not God telling you. Okay, so anyway, within this whole scenario here, reconciliation is always the key. Why? Because relationships are important. Remember, we are the children of God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Because of that union that we have, we're united into one body. And it is in that unity of one body that he's called us all together to be, for this to be our experience. That we need to live out this grace that we have received for others. Let me just quickly share with you 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 17 through 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, we're his hands and feet. We're doing his work in the world now. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Okay, right here is where we get to wear the fancy sash. Right here. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Okay, what God is saying is live out the reconciliation I have given to you. How? By reconciling with other imperfect people around you. As we take ourselves back to our introduction, in a room of this size, we have got families represented. We certainly have a church family represented. This is not the interactive part. Don't raise your hand. Have any of you ever been hurt by someone in this room? Have any of you ever been offended by someone in this room? Now, let's just stop just for 1 second here, and I want to make one point. Sorry, Chris, I'm going over. Within this whole idea of somebody wronging you, somebody hurting you, isn't it even worse when they're oblivious to the pain, to the train wreck they've just left in your path? Amen? How can they not know they just tramped all over me and my feelings? Let's flip that coin. If they, being an imperfect person, can be oblivious to hurt or pain they've caused you, what is the prospect? What is the probability that you may have at some point offended somebody, hurt somebody, caused them pain, and you're oblivious to it? Well, you say the probability is, well, there's a small chance that could, there's a reasonable chance. No, there's a really good chance. There's a high probability. We can just shy of an absolute guarantee. Each one of us has been in a situation that we have caused pain we're not aware of. In the church as a whole, there have been too many Christians that are casualties of friendly fire, in which those inside their own group of fellowship have been mistaken for the enemy. We know what this starts out. There's a dissension, and it grows into an argument, and the argument grows, and it comes to a split. And you've got the unsavory publications in the newspaper delineating the process of what has happened. Why? Because there was hurt in the church. And what started out as a simple little disagreement has grown to the point that there are casualties by friendly fire. My charge to you this morning: make it a pact at Clear Lake Christian Church. From this day forward, there will be no casualties because of friendly fire in the confines of this community of faith. Can you imagine if you are known by those things like kind, considerate, and forgiving? You will take notice from this city around you. The people of Clear Lake will be saying that that group over there at Clear Lake Christian Church really does love one another. They are kind. They are considerate. It's a wonderful place to be. Father, thank you for your grace this morning to us that are imperfect. Lord, as believers in you, empower us to be like your Son and give grace to one another. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Reading from Matthew. While they're eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples saying, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I'll not drink of this fruit of the vine now until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. Dear Lord, bless this bread and cup, the symbols of your body and blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. To all that believe, you are our Lord and Savior. As we gather here today, we remember you left eternal glory to be broken and bruised and hung on a cross to pay for all our sins, so that we could be forgiven and come to be with you. Let us live to be a servant and to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Bible is filled with stories of people that have been prepared and called for particular service to God. Chapter 17 of 1 Kings tells of the story of Elijah. Elijah was directed to leave the comfort of his home to go to an unusual living situation and to eat strange food. During the time Jesus walked the earth, he told his disciples to carry his message to the world. Luke 9:6 tells us, "So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel." Luke chapter 10 quotes the Lord, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And in Matthew 28, Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We gather today to commission Scott and Robin Wilson as missionaries of the gospel to the people of Sierra Leone, West Africa. They do not venture out alone, but go with the financial and prayer support of those here gathered, as well as others who could not be here with us today. They also go with the full knowledge that they can rely on the indwelling of the eternal Holy Spirit to guide them. So you see, this is a joint venture. And those who do not go still have important parts to play. Scott and Robin, if you would come forward, please. We first learned of the idea of the Ebenezer when the Israelites crossed into the Promised Land. After crossing the Jordan, Joshua had each tribe select a person to go out and find a stone and to place it where they slept that first night in the Promised Land. Joshua 4 tells us, he said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." Again in 1 Samuel 7, after an extended victory over the Philistines, Samuel took up a stone and set it up and he named it Ebenezer. Today we present you with this representative, a representation of an Ebenezer that will be added. This is a representation of the Ebenezer that will be added to the church grounds upon the completion of our impending construction project. Somewhere, possibly in the area outside where we're putting some outside benches, there will be a stone with a small plaque. In the future, there will be times when someone will ask, "What's that stone for?" And we will be able to tell them the story of sending out missionaries, declaring the name of Jesus to the people of Sierra Leone. And this small stone will go with you, so that someday people might ask you, "What is that stone for?" And you will tell them of your home church and the people of Northern Iowa who are praying for them and who want them to know God's grace through our Savior. Amen.
Thank you. After Marty, Chris doesn't trust me.
Dear friends in Jesus, we gather with you in the name of our God who purposed for the whole world to know his saving grace for this commissioning service. As a body of believers, we are persuaded that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We further hold that Christ's death provides atonement for the sins of the whole world. We believe that this gospel should be proclaimed to every tribe and people. Scott and Robin, you have responded to God's call upon your life to make this truth known in obedience to the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. We are grateful to those who gathered, do so in support of your calling. Yours is a high calling, for it is a solemn responsibility to share the living Christ. The Bible tells us God appointed apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Our exhortation to you is in the words of Scripture where Paul writes, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Before this body, you have declared your faith in Jesus Christ. and expressed your conviction that he has called you to missionary service. This call, we believe, has been confirmed by the unique matching of the call to your talents, by the circumstances of your call, by your service to us as your home church, by your modeling of the evangelical walk, and through the testimony of those who have prayed specifically for this missionary need to be met. Now you're asked to declare publicly your conviction by answering the following questions. Has the love of Christ and a sincere desire to share his glory through his gospel inspired you to seek this mission? If so, answer, I have been inspired.
I have been inspired.
I have been inspired.
Do you promise to be faithful in guarding yourself against all that is not in harmony with the teaching of God's word? If so, answer, I promise to be faithful.
I promise to be faithful.
I promise to be faithful.
Will you strive to maintain a regular devotional life of scripture reading and prayer, believing this to be the most effective way to minister in the name of your Savior? If so, answer, I will be devoted to Christ.
I will be devoted to Christ.
I will be devoted to Christ.
Will you be faithful and diligent in the execution of all your duties, both public and private, laboring cheerfully by a Christ-like life? Will you exemplify Christian love in everything you do? If so, answer, I will by the grace of God.
I will by the grace of God.
I will by the grace of God.
As a result of your positive answers to this charge, and in accordance with the practice set forth for us in the book of Acts, the elders of this church will now lay hands on you and pray. All of you who wish to join us are invited to come and gather with us. As they continue to come, let us pray. Almighty Father, thank you for being the God that you are, for calling these two to your service. Father, we know that if you called only one of these, the other would go along in obedience to you. But in your mercy, you have called them both. Thank you for allowing them to come here first and become part of this body, part of this family. Thank you for allowing us to get to know them and to love them.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for their loving us back, loving us as only people can love because you loved us first. Thank you for empowering them with the desire and ability to go to Africa in your name. We thank you for those who will hear about you and get to know your word and the love you have for each of us because of this mission work. Father, we know that you go with each one of us, whether here in Clear Lake, here in northern Iowa, all the way around the world to West Africa. You go with each of us. We ask that you help us to remember that you are in us and that we are in you, and that everything we say and do, we do as a representative of you. We pray that this congregation will be faithful to these, our missionaries, who go out in your name. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we now, by the laying on of our hands, commission you missionaries of the gospel of Jesus Christ and fellow workers in his church, and send you forth as God's chosen servants. May God, the Father in heaven, guard and keep you in his love, enrich and strengthen you with his grace, provide and care for you in every trial and need, and permit his presence to be with you as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. May the comfort and peace of God uphold you now and forever. Amen. You may be seated if you like.
Okay.
You're going to come back, though.
Okay.
Okay. You have witnessed the commissioning of Scott and Robin Wilson for the purpose of carrying out the divine command to make Christ known around the world. The admonishment now is to each of us to encourage them with fervent prayer and sacrificial giving. As these two have dedicated themselves to make disciples, so may you give yourselves to the same task of making Jesus Christ known. Scripture admonishes us, declare his glory among the nations. And Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before man, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. If you accept this charge, respond by saying, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will. Scott, if you would come forward and benediction first. I'm sorry.
Song.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the word not only good for the two of us, but it's good for all of us. For those that haven't gotten enough of the emotion, join us downstairs. Party continues. There's going to be plenty of food. It's hard to imagine. I woke up this morning. It's like it's here. This is it. This is the day. Robin and I pray that each time you pray for us, our partnership is so real that you will feel just like you're on the ground in Sierra Leone. Because your partnership is that key to the success of the work of Jesus Christ in that country. I wish I had 2 hours to say everything that's in my heart. I've enjoyed being your shepherd. I've enjoyed loving you and being loved. And I thank you. I will never forget you. And we don't have to say goodbye. Just simply see you later. Because we will be coming back to our home church to report on all that God is doing on behalf of you over there. Let us stand. And please, if you're here today and you didn't know how things work, it doesn't matter. Please, please, if you have loved the fellowship in this room this morning, let it continue. Join us for dinner. And join this group again for worship, where you know they love one another and they're committed to seeing God's work done in this place. Let us pray. Lord, I trust we have honored you today. Yours is the name above all names. You are the one to which we go to for salvation. May we be like you. May we give grace to all the imperfect sinners like ourselves, that we will be able to carry on your work, that we will see the mighty things that you will do in our presence. Lord, may the greatest days of Clear Lake Christian Church be in their not so distant future until the Lord comes. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.